Let's go.
Oh, Christmas tree. No, but... Oh, Christmas tree.
Brit, you can't sing Christmas carols because we're not going to release this around Christmas time.
Oh, you're right.
Sing midwinter February carols.
It's February and everyone hates their lives.
Okay, but it can't be a carol that you make up.
Oh, I don't know any song about February.
Well, that's your assignment for next week.
Sounds good.
Hi, everybody. Welcome.
It's us.
It's us. We're here. Welcome to Weird Stuff Happens in Canada.
I'm Brit.
I'm Emily.
And this is Weird Stuff Happens in Canada.
I just said that.
All right. Okay.
You know what?
And Sally's here, too.
The intro needs some work.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
That's your assignment for next week.
I have so many assignments.
Well, you should just be better. And then you won't have so many assignments.
That's a good point.
Hey, Brit, you know what I love?
What? What do you love?
Sports.
Oh, my God. You know what I love?
What?
Sports!
Oh, my gosh. And I would say we know most things about sports.
Yeah, we know a lot of thing about sports and also sportsmen.
You just said we know a lot of thing about sports.
We know a lot of thing.
Which is, like, probably much more accurate that we know one thing.
Yeah.
But today, we're going to talk about the sports of the everyman, or the every person. Which is the Olympics.
Is that the every person?
Yeah, because everybody likes the Olympics.
Oh, I was thinking you meant like everyone could compete in the Olympics. And I
no,
was
it's
like,
the opposite of that.
Oh, gotcha.
No, but gotcha. Find someone who doesn't like the Olympics.
But there's probably someone out there.
No, I defy you to find someone who doesn't like them.
I'm sure like when we become inevitably famous with this podcast, someone will comment and say, I don't like the Olympics.
If you don't like the Olympics, tell us why in the comments.
Yeah.
We don't have a system set up where there's comments.
Where do people leave comments?
They just call your phone.
Oh, no! You can do me.
You can text Brit.
Yeah, or email Emily. Her email address is emily@emily.com.
I wish. if only.
Okay, great.
But everybody likes the Olympics.
It's true. Let's say that for the premise of this episode, that everyone likes the Olympics.
Do we realize that the Olympics are a problematic construct?
Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah.
And specifically, today, we're going to talk about the first Olympics that ever happened in Canada.
Yay! Where was it, Emily?
You should know. Because hopefully you did research.
Emily, this is some theater for
Well, let me tell you, Brit. The first Canadian Olympics were in Montreal in 1976.
How fun.
This is where I would sing whatever the theme song was of those Olympics.
Yeah.
Was it that song that was like... Boom, boom, bam, 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 bam.
God, I hope it was either that or it was that Celine Dion song that goes, there were nights when the wind was so cold.
Celine Dion was a tiny baby in 1976.
Celine Dion is forever and will live forever, so I don't want to hear any of that.
Okay, sorry. So,
the Montreal Olympics. Let's go back to 1976.
Put on your espadrilles.
What's that?
I don't know. Shoes.
Put on your bell-bottom jeans.
Apple-bottom jeans.
Now, was this
what the fur?
Winter or was it a summer Olympics? Summers?
It was a summer Olympics.
Okay, great. So we could wear like a nice fitted t-shirt.
Yeah, like
maybe a loose poncho.
Maybe you go to your dad's closet, get one of his ties, wear it in your hair.
Oh my God! What a look.
What a look.
And you know in Montreal, they were looking
Trey
great.
Chic.
Yeah. Trey chicest chic. City in Canada? I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Anyways, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay, tell me a story about the Montreal Olympics.
Well.
I'm there. I'm ready.
It was 1976. And I just want to say, it's a bit weird to me that the first Olympics in Canada were Summer Olympics. Because we are so ideal for a Winter Olympics.
I know, it's weird.
And it took another 12 years Which I guess is not that long in Olympic time because it's only every 4 years, but...
Mm. Yeah, no, it's weird that the first one, they were like, oh, Canada, summer.
Summer,
yeah.
In Canada.
Yeah.
Everyone loves it. So, fun fact about the Montreal Olympics, it was the first time a host country won no gold medals in a summer Olympics.
Okay.
It had happened a bunch of times in Winter Olympics, because I feel like Winter Olympics are more specialized.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not a country that has winter,
yeah.
How are you supposed to practice the luge?
I'm sorry, Calgary Olympics had a little thing called the Jamaican bobsled team. And did they win? I can't remember.
Let's watch the movie again.
No, but it's true. It's true. And it would be a certain bit of, like, anyone can, like, practice for the Summer Olympics if you have an indoor arena, I imagine.
Or you can just run. That's what the Olympics is about in the summer. You just run.
Yeah, just run. In the snow, it's better. You give there, like, some traction.
You would get resistance.
Yeah.
Imagine if you only trained in the snow and then you came to the Olympics and it was the summer. You'd run so fast.
Oh, my God. It'd be like running in water all the time.
Yeah. That's crazy. So anyway, we didn't do very good at the Olympics that we hosted.
Oh, Canada.
But that is neither here nor there.
Yes.
The thing that I want to talk about today
mm-hmm.
is the boycott of the 1976 Olympics.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Tell me all about it.
Well, it all began with, you know, colonialism and sort of a systemic racism that has been in place for hundreds, if not thousands, of years.
Yep, yep.
And
yep.
I would just like to here insert a disclaimer that I know very little about any of this. I did the research that I wrote down in this notebook that's in front of me, and it's probably all incorrect.
Yeah.
So
yep, yep.
If you are interested in this, go look up things for yourself. Don't trust what I say.
Yeah.
End of disclaimer.
Okay.
So, in 1964,
okay,
the country of South Africa
yep.
was banned from the Olympics.
Okay.
Because of...
apartheid.
Apartheid!
That shitty
the
apartheid.
IOC was like, guys, you can't come. And they were like, honestly, we don't care. Because at the time, there were just were not a lot of events in the Olympics that South Africa really cared about.
Right.
All they really cared about was rugby.
Right,
and rugby
right.
was not an Olympic sport.
Okay.
I do not know if it is now. Who knows? So, in 1976...
I can feel Jake just cringing.
Jake, we love you.
Sorry.
Sorry. So, in 1976, South Africa remained basically a nation at war.
Okay.
It was sort of the height of apartheid, if you can call that a thing.
Right.
And things really came to a head in that year on June 16th with the Soweto Uprising.
Right.
Which was this huge student protest. But student is not even the right word. It was a children's protest, basically. Like, they
holy
were
shit.
Tiny babies
aww.
Who they were protesting the fact that there had been a decree that year that all of their schooling had to be taught in Afrikaans.
Okay.
Which really upset a lot of people because that's, like, the language of the oppressor.
Right.
And so on June 16th, like, tens of thousands of students decided to protest.
Okay.
And things just got really out of control really quickly, and it ended up that the South African police fired their guns directly onto the protesters.
Oh, my God.
And just killed hundreds of kids.
Oh, my God.
And, like, the South African government always states the number as being, like, 176 students or protesters who died, but really people think it's much closer to 700.
Holy shit.
So it was this devastating event.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, on June 30th, the little country of New Zealand's
mm-hmm.
rugby team arrived in South Africa to start a competitive rugby tour.
Yay!
Not so much.
Okay.
Yet. Because earlier, the United Nations had imposed a sports embargo on South Africa.
Right. Right.
And because South Africa had such a good rugby team, which is what Invictus is about.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Books.
Matt Damon.
That was good. So because the UN had imposed this embargo, no one was supposed to go to South Africa.
But New Zealand was like, we want to play rugby so bad.
So bad.
Just let us play.
Rugby. And so New Zealand sent their rugby team to
South Africa. Shit, New Zealand.
Which in itself was very problematic because the New Zealand rugby team had 6 non-white players on it.
Okay.
Who were Maori or ethnic Samoan.
Right, right, right.
And so when they were going to South Africa, they were given honorary white status.
Ooh.
So that they could go into all the places they needed to go to for the tournament.
Holy
Which
shit.
Which is so fucked up.
That's so fucked up. And this was in 1976.
This is in 1976. This
oh my
is weeks
God.
Before the Olympics.
That wasn't even that long
no.
ago.
And there's all this really interesting, if you're interested, there's all this super interesting stuff with Billy Bush, who was one of the Maori players, because he just like did all of this shit to kind of provoke everyone, because
yeah,
he
yeah.
was in a position of power
yeah.
just by being on the team, and he was a really, really good player, so they couldn't just like send him home.
Yeah, yeah.
So he did crazy stuff just to be like, I'm a person of color and I'm here and you can see me.
Shit.
Which was
That's
crazy.
Amazing. But also like really too bad that Billy Bush, the American, really like ruined that name for
right?
me.
Right? Ruined
yeah.
it forever.
Fucking
Let's just
Billy Bush.
Erase new Billy Bush from
Get
history.
Get out of here.
I'm all about New Zealand Maori rugby player Billy Bush.
Yeah.
So the tour was very problematic because
right.
The world saw it as New Zealand tacitly giving their support to the apartheid regime.
Right.
And so because of the rugby tour, many countries called for the IOC to ban New Zealand from the Montreal Olympics.
Okay.
This was all led by a bunch of African nations, the Congolese leader. He was kind of like the main guy who was trying to orchestrate it.
Okay.
But the IOC was like, listen, guys, we've banned South Africa, and rugby is not an Olympic sport.
Right.
So
right.
we don't see that there's anything we can do.
Yeah.
Which I understand.
That's a good
point.
Yeah.
Do I agree with them? No.
Yeah.
But
I can understand, because, yeah, if rugby is not even an Olympic sport, it's, like, kind of, like,
yeah.
blending
So they were
things.
Saying it's not, it's out of our jurisdiction.
Right.
There's nothing we can do. And then basically, most of Africa was like, well, if you don't ban them, then we're not coming.
Whoa.
But the crazy thing was, this all happened so close to the games. I have the date here somewhere. The opening of ceremonies of the Montreal Olympics was July 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So this was all happening in, like, the 2 weeks leading up to the games that all of this was going on.
Oh, my God.
And most of the nations that ended up boycotting went to Montreal because no one knew what they were going to do, whether they were going to eventually ban New Zealand or whether they were going to play. So a whole bunch of people went to the Olympics ready to compete. A lot of athletes started preliminary competitions
yeah.
and then had to pull from the games.
Oh no.
So it ended up that 29 African nations boycotted the games.
Holy!
And
I didn't realize it was that many.
Well, it was mostly African, and then there was a couple,
Europe.
Like Iraq and another, I think, like Middle Eastern country.
Okay.
I forget the exact countries because I'm bad at my job. But yeah, 29 countries decided
That's
not to compete.
Crazy.
And it just had such an impact on the games because, especially in track and field.
Well, especially the summer games.
So many
yeah.
of the best athletes were from those African nations.
Yeah,
and I guess
yeah.
there was this really highly anticipated event. One of the most highly anticipated events of the games was the 1500-meter men's race.
Okay.
And there was a really good athlete from New Zealand and a really good athlete from one of the African countries. And there was going to be, like, this face-off.
Yeah.
But then the African guy left and didn't compete.
Yeah, yeah.
And the New Zealand guy obviously won. Yeah. And New Zealand's like, no, we won fair and square. And it's like, well,
you
didn't. You
didn't actually,
really.
Like, beat the best person, though.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So it's actually not the first time that there's been, like, threats of boycotts at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of African countries threatened to boycott the 1968 Olympics, which were in Mexico City, because the IOC was considering letting South Africa back into the Olympics.
Oh.
And they were like, if you let them back in, we're not competing. And it worked that time. South Africa was not allowed back into the Olympics. But in 1976, it didn't work. As I said, some athletes were already competing, which is so devastating. Like, you train and train and train.
Oh, my God.
You're in, like, whatever trials or round robin or whatever, like,
yeah.
sports terms, insert sports terms here. And... Sure.
Yeah.
And then you have to, then they're like, no, sorry, we're leaving.
And like, it's every 4 years. So depending on how old you are or
what
you're training,
that might be it for you.
Because you might get injured.
Ugh,
like,
can't even.
That's devastating.
And so many events had to be totally rescheduled. The whole organization of the games had to change. It was like this logistical nightmare. And it really proved to be a key moment in the fight against apartheid and racial discrimination.
Wow.
I mean, everyone, like, historians all agree that apartheid ended because of the economic sanctions that were put on South Africa.
Right.
But it was, in a lot of cases, it was the first time that apartheid was on the front page of every newspaper.
Right.
It really brought it into the, like, the focus of the world.
You know,
I'm trying to use words.
It was like in the world spotlight.
Yeah. And everyone was talking about it in a way that they hadn't before.
Yeah.
It really proved to these African countries, because one of the really interesting things about the IOC is that every country gets one vote. It doesn't matter how big your country is, how well you do at the Olympics, how much money you have, you get one vote.
Right.
So, like, the U.S. has the same power as these tiny African countries.
Yeah.
And so it really, it gave them power in a way that the U.N. or other global economic forums did not.
Yeah. And yeah, it gave them, like, fair... a fair and equal platform to, like,
and
make their statement.
And show them that they have a voice in the global sense and that they have power to change things.
Yeah.
And it
amazing.
Really, there was still a ton of protesting happening in South Africa.
Mm.
And people say it's one of the reasons that the protests were able to keep going because the protesters saw these athletes make a stand and were, like, so bolstered by that.
Oh, I love that.
I know.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, like, I'm sure when you're protesting something over such a long period of time, like, when you were saying you said, what, 1968 or something was the student... The Soweto protest?
That was 1976.
Oh, that was in 76
yeah.
as well. But still, you know, it's like this, like, long, unending, like...
Unending
protest.
Conflict.
Yeah, and then, yeah, to see something like that take national... And also, I'm sure when you're protesting, getting international attention is so important.
So important.
You know, it stops you from being just kind of... erased and, like, shuttled off somewhere, so... Yeah, that's amazing.
Well, I have to mention that there was an unrelated boycott of the 1976 Olympics.
Oh, my God.
By another country.
Oh, God.
And this becomes super problematic territory because I don't know anything about this.
Okay.
But the Republic of China.
Oh, right.
Which we know maybe as Taiwan.
Right.
They... boycotted the games in 1976 because the Canadian government refused to let them compete under the name the Republic of China.
Right.
Because the Canadian government had already formally recognized the People's Republic of China, which is what we know as China.
Right.
And so Republic of China was like, well, if we can't use our name, we're not competing. And everyone was like, literally no one cares.
Oh, no!
It was, like, really too bad.
Yeah.
For them, because they were trying to make a stand. In 1979, the IOC tried to, like, as a gesture of good faith.
Yeah.
They were like, you can compete if you use the name Chinese Taipei. And Republic of China was like, no!
Oh, no!
And then eventually, they were like, okay, fine.
Oh, no! God, they had, like, a real rough time of it.
And it was bad timing, too.
Yeah.
They sort of got upstaged.
I was gonna say, like, 29 countries, like, boycotting.
Fighting racial segregation, and you're like, but our name's not right!
And obviously there's a lot more to that conflict.
There's a lot more to that conflict, which is very old and rooted in a lot of, I'm sure, injustices and other stuff, and I'm sorry to the Republic of China.
Yeah.
You can write in the comments if you have anything to say. It's at emily@emily.com, where you can reach us.
That's where all our comments go. Thanks.
And so that is the boycott of the 1976 Olympics.
Yay! Now, before I start mine, I just want to say there's a really great story from the Montreal Olympics about this Japanese gymnast. Did you read anything about this?
No.
He was doing, like, all of his... I wish I had his name. I was going to do a story about this, but then I... Obviously, there wasn't, like, enough meat there.
So you're telling a story about someone whose name you don't know.
Hold on. But I just want everyone to go, like, look it up, because it's amazing. Because there's video of this on YouTube. So he, like, broke his knee.
I did read about this!
Yeah. And then he still went on. He didn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
And he did the parallel bars, and he landed, and he stuck his landing perfectly, and then... like yells in pain because he's like he like landed on his broken knee, but it's the most impressive thing I've ever seen.
And do you think his leg was just fucked up forever?
I don't think he like ever competed again after that.
Well, obviously not. Did he walk?
I don't know. He like limps off the mat you see him. But they like won gold because of that.
That's
so
crazy.
Anyways, that's just a little tidbit.
And obviously, everyone knows the 1976 Olympics was where Nadia Comaneci really came to fame because she got a perfect 10.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. That was, like, the other, like, stories of note at the Olympics.
And wasn't she, like, 14 or something?
Yeah, she was, like, a little tiny, literal and age-wise baby. She was, like, a tiny little baby.
She was a... What does that even mean? She was a literal and age-wise baby. That's what literal means.
But I mean,
I know,
like,
as millennials,
physically little.
We use the word literal.
Physically
in a
little
sense that is not appropriate.
And age-wise little.
Yeah, she had short.
I'm tired.
She had short, stubby arms and legs that didn't work like a baby.
Yeah.
And she cried all the time.
Did she cry?
No, these are.
Anyways, the story I'm doing is on the ill-fated and cursed Montreal Stadium. Now, don't go anywhere. That sounds really boring, but it's actually pretty interesting. So,
and we don't take breaks because we don't have sponsors. Keep going.
Yay! Okay, so the Montreal Stadium. If you're from Montreal, you know it as either the Big O because it's shaped like a donut, or the Big Owl, because of the crazy cost of the stadium and the Olympics as a whole.
I have a third one.
What's that?
They call it the Big O, like O-W-E.
Yeah, Owl. That's the Big Owl.
No, that's O. Like, they owe so much money.
Oh, I was thinking Owl. Like,
Owl is O-W. You don't know how to spell Owl?
Isn't it O-W-E?
That's O. Like, I owe you money.
But I was thinking it like, ow.
Honestly, this might be the first episode where we have to cut something out. Because it's so embarrassing for you.
Anyways, that's what they call it. So, because it's so cold in Montreal, what they really, really wanted was a covered stadium.
Sure.
So that eventually, after the games were over, they could have a professional baseball team in Montreal. Like, that was kind of the end goal.
Yeah, the Montreal... Expos.
Yeah. So, the Expos is a team in Montreal. So, it was designed by French architect Roger Talibert? I don't know how to say his name. But obviously, I don't know how to say a lot of things. And the starring feature that kind of, like, won him the bid to design was that it had this retractable roof so that you could, like, put it down and put it back. Just like the Sky Dome in Toronto.
It's not called the Sky Dome anymore.
It's always called the Sky Dome. Sky Dome forever.
Hashtag Sky Dome forever. Trending.
So, at the time, the mayor, Jean Drapeau, when he was, like, speaking of the budget of, like, building this astronomically, like, beautiful building, he famously stated, and, like, to anyone listening to this will understand the irony of it, but he said, the Olympics can no more have a deficit than a man can have a baby. Meaning there's no way we're going to lose money on this because the Olympics will only make money
for us. He obviously hadn't seen Junior.
He... that's not real.
That's a documentary.
That's a documentary about the first man that had a baby.
Yeah.
So they had it slated to be finished by 1972. The grand...
4 years in advance.
Right? They're, like, ready to go. Yeah. Grand opening was canceled because of a strike by the construction workers.
Guys!
Further delays were caused because of the stadium's unusual design, so it was difficult to build and also difficult to get the materials that they needed to build it because the architect refused to alter his vision even as the cost of the raw materials escalated and escalated and escalated. And also the original project manager that had been brought on, he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. So nothing was managed.
Sure.
Everything was managed improperly. Eventually the Quebec government gets totally fed up, throws the architect off the project in 1974.
Did they kill him?
Yeah, they killed him.
He's in the river.
They buried him in concrete. He's at the bottom of the stadium.
No.
So
that's not true. And just sorry I said that.
Sorry to the Tally Bear family.
I'm sure he's alive and well. Yeah. If he's not, I apologize.
Again. So all of this compounded by the fact that they can't build for a third of the year because winter in Montreal is so devastating.
Wimps.
I know, right?
I would have built it.
So all of these delays and problems mean that the stadium remained unfinished at the opening of the games in 1976.
It was 4 years of delays?
Yeah. So this is a quote from The Guardian about the opening day of the Olympics.
Tell me.
So
July 17th,
with Queen Elizabeth, Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, and 73,000 people looking on, the Greek athletes who traditionally led the Parade of Nations came up the ramp towards the Olympic Stadium to find their way almost blocked by construction workers. Out of sight of the cameras, the staff were frantically wielding shovels and brooms to clear away the building debris left from the manic push to complete the facility in time. In the final scrambling months before the games, 3,000 laborers had worked in teams 24 hours a day to make it possible for the Olympics to begin at all, and they barely succeeded.
Oh my god!
So it was literally at the time of the games and throughout the games, the stadium was just still unfinished and a disaster. So the projected cost when they put forward the design plan was $134 million. The total cost at opening was $264 million.
That's twice as much.
And it still wasn't done.
Oh, no.
Okay. So, in the post-games era, construction resumed in the 1980s. but a massive fire delayed things a little bit.
How can it be on fire? It's so cold.
There's the summertime also. Also, a large chunk of the tower fell onto the field prior to an Expos game in 1986.
Oh my god.
They did finally finish the sought-after retractable roof. It was finished in 1987, a decade later than planned. The roof ripped often and leaked as a result of all the rips.
Yep.
On September 8th, 1991, support beams snapped and a 56-ton slab of concrete fell onto the exterior walkway. Luckily, no one was injured. In 1999, a portion of the roof collapsed, dumping ice and snow on workers setting up the Montreal Auto Show. The auto show never returned to the venue after that.
I don't blame them.
In 2009, the Olympic Installations Board issued a report stating the stadium roof was unsafe during heavy rainfall or more than 8 centimeters of snow, which anyone from Canada knows is not a lot of snow, and that it rips about 50 to 60 times a year. A committee was formed in 2011 to study the future of the stadium.
Tear it down.
And on March 4th, 2012, a slab of concrete measuring 26 by 39 feet fell from the roof of the stadium's underground parking. Luckily, no one was injured, but it essentially just collapsed into the underground parking. So how did they pay for all of this from start to finish? The Quebec government introduced a special tobacco tax in May of 1976 to help recoup expenses.
Yeah, the smokers will pay for it.
Right? And the idea was that once the stadium was paid off, the ownership would be returned to the city of Montreal. So they would own it eventually, and then they could recoup any money going forward once it was paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the indoor smoking ban really gave them a lot of setbacks to the tobacco tax. But by mid-November 2006, the stadium costs were finally paid in full, more than 30 years after it opened. The final total cost, so originally they projected $134 million.
Yeah.
Final total cost was $1.61 billion.
Oh my God.
So, making it the second...
That's a big ow.
Making it the second most expensive stadium ever built after Wembley in London, England.
And I bet Wembley is making money.
And, like, probably not collapsing on people as
probably
they're setting
not.
Up an auto show. So the roof continues to deteriorate. In May of 2017, there were more than 7,000 tears in the roof. And just this November, so literally last month, the Quebec government approved plans to build a new roof. At an estimated cost of $250 million.
Why?
In 2016, Fortune magazine called the Montreal Stadium one of the biggest financial disasters in modern Olympic history.
Can I just say?
The
end. A little personal experience.
Yes, please.
As someone who has toured Olympic Stadium a bunch of times.
Yeah.
It is... so depressing to go into.
Really?
Because you go in and it's enormous. It's, I think, the biggest stadium I've ever been in.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's, the lighting is terrible.
Oh, no.
The floor, this is, like, years ago when I was there a lot, but the floor is dirt. Like,
oh.
Because there's no, like, you're used to going in and seeing, like, you're used to going into the Sky Dome and seeing the very well manicured field.
Yeah.
But this is...
their field is just dirt?
When I was there, it was just dirt.
Oh, no.
maybe I'm misremembering it, but I just remember it being so depressing.
Yeah, it, like, looks really beautiful in the designs because it has this very tall tower, and then, yeah, like, the retractable roof
it's
looks
the
really
tallest
good.
Inclined tower in the world.
It is the tallest inclined tower in the world, which is amazing, but, like, none of that really matters if
it doesn't do the thing that it's built to do.
Yeah, and so, like, they did finally, like, the expos did use it a lot, but there was, like, just stuff kept falling onto the field. And the Expos eventually were like, if this keeps happening, we can't play here.
And, like, I don't know things about sports and people who like sports.
Yeah.
To me, it seems inconceivable that you, just sort of a regular season of playing, that you would attract 68,000 people to a game.
Yeah, they said the most... like, the largest audience they've ever had at the Montreal Stadium was for a Pink Floyd concert.
Obviously.
Which was, like, 70,000 people or something. So, like, yeah, if you're going to use it for, like, as a music venue.
Sure.
Or if you're going to use it for lots of venues. And they were saying that, so, they're going to put a new roof on for $250,000. They were, like,
$1,000 or $1,000,000?
250, what did I say?
You said million.
I literally can't remember. Whatever I wrote down was right. I swear. $250 million. Yeah. But to tear it down, it would be like $500 million.
Right.
So it's less money to put a new roof on, but once you tear it down, that's it. You're done with it, right? You're still going to have to continuously maintain it, even if you put a new roof on it, even if it's amazing. Like, it's just like, there's, you hear so much now about how, like, these stadiums are just, like, bankrupting cities.
Yeah.
Especially with the Olympics, which they come in, for, like, once, potentially, ever.
Yeah.
And then now you have this $1.6 billion thing that's cost your city, you know, like, years and years of heartache and, like, just, like, constant maintenance and it's like people can't even use it for what it was originally intended to. And it wasn't even done for the games. Like, so it wasn't this beautiful, amazing display of Montreal. It was like this ramshackle, like half constructed thing that, so I don't know. It just doesn't seem worth it to me.
Well, it really seems like the athletics of the Montreal Olympics were really overshadowed by some other things.
It was secondary to...
and maybe that's why Canada didn't win any gold medals, because we were just like... there was too much going on.
Yeah, we were like, can't focus on anything. On my sports.
I can't focus on my sports!
My sports!
Yeah, everyone was just too mad.
Yeah, but... interesting story.
But then also, if you're a Canadian athlete, 1976, Montreal... you probably do shitty because it's too much pressure in your home country. 1980, Canada boycotted the Olympics.
Mm.
So, sucks to be you.
Yeah.
You probably, like, that's an 8-year period.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
You don't get to do sports.
No, you don't. There was probably a little Canadian, Nadia Comaneci.
I know.
Who could have, and then she was like, oh, I'm 23 now. I'm way too old.
Yeah. Well, and, like, what I wish... Yeah, 23 is too old. What I wish is, like, instead of investing $1.6 billion into a building, is, like, invest $1.6 billion into your athletes and,
yeah,
like, you know, give them the training that they need to, like, be Olympic-level athletes. And then instead of a crumbling building with 7,000 tears in the roof, you have, like, gold standard athletes that can compete at the world level. So,
yeah,
that's my rant about Olympics. Sports.
Yep.
My brain is shutting down.
But don't worry. In 2010, Canada won its first gold medal on home soil.
That's sad. We didn't win anything at the Calgary Olympics?
Nope.
Oh, no.
We didn't win any gold.
Oh, that's sad. Who was the first gold medal on Canadian soil?
Wasn't it that guy, that skier guy?
Oh.
Remember?
Maybe. Snowboarder?
I think it was skiing.
I don't remember.
Sports! We love sports.
Sports.
Well, this has been another episode of Weird Stuff Happens in Canada.
Thanks for joining us.
This is where our theme song plays.
Do do do
to be announced.
Do 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 do.